Pathway Studios in Johnston proper. You are live from the path.
You're listening to Live from the Path. We're coming to you from the Pathway Studios here in Johnston proper. Okay, there's not a way to do this well. Hold on. Okay. I had to cut it off directly. Here's the problem. Is we're doing technological wonders here tonight. Mike is, so it's just Boov and I here in the studio. Dan's still in the Zimbabster. He's hanging out in Zimbabwe. He's going to be back in a few days.
The Zimbabster?
Yeah. He just come to me.
Can't you just say Zimbabwe?
No, here's I use words and I bend and I twist them like magic.
Hey, Dan, how's the Zimbabster doing?
it was wrong of me, but I don't repent. So rather than Boov and I be lonely and spend our time talking to the thrift store priest, we brought Mike on. Mike's Mike, I can't remember. You in Minnesota?
Yeah, Minnesota.
Are you running a fan?
No, why? Should I turn one on?
No, I don't
why
care.
Why would that be a request for you to turn one on, Mike?
It felt like there was a fan there.
All right. I mean, here's the deal, is if I was running a fan, it could be because I'm in the toilet. And you wouldn't even know because I'm over to Skype audio only.
Oh, buddy.
But that is not the case. I could be standing. I'm sitting by the air conditioner. You want me to shut the fan off?
No. It's perfectly fine. See, this is amateur town. This is my fault. I should never mention it. I don't know. I've not learned in 10 years of broadcasting not to do things
we
like that.
We have been doing this for a while.
Yeah. That's no. That's that. We're still scraping the barrel. Anyway.
for the life of me, I can't find out where this fan noise is coming from. I'll look into it.
All right, so here's what we got going on the show tonight. Boova, the Lord has dropped a psalm on you. What psalm is it?
Psalm 104.
What's the gist here?
So it's a really cool psalm, just kind of regarding just the extent of God's power. And so the cool thing is I was actually watching my girlfriend's story on Instagram, and a little girl had given her a painting or a drawing or something like that.
Yep.
This little Malagasy girl from Madagascar had drawn Psalm 104 and said that she loved her and that God loved her and all this stuff. It was really cute. And so recently I've kind of decided that anytime I see any scripture, like even referenced, or anytime somebody says a scripture, for a long time I kind of just threw that off, and now I'm jumping at it. And so that was Psalm 104, and yesterday that kind of wrecked my day in a good way, and actually helped through a couple situations with a couple other people. So it was a really cool thing from the Lord yesterday.
Okay, so Psalmster 104?
Yeah.
We're going to get it.
Psalmster in the Zimbabster from Live from the Pastor.
All right, Mike. Well, Mike's got some dear life in the path, and then the Lord's been kind of after you, and I think both of us at the behest of someone else on prayer.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so we're going to talk about that. Like Mike and I both kind of recently read a book, and I think it was appropriately challenging on prayer, and I think it opens up a lot of really interesting questions on like how people interact with God, whether everyone interacts with God in the same way, especially when it comes to how we think of the Holy Spirit. And so we'll get into that, and then where we have time, it's follow up to that. I've been doing a terrible job reading books, and then all of a sudden I got this one on prayer, and I burned through it, and I realized like I loved reading and hearing people talk about things that God is doing and ways that otherwise can shift and change me. And so I picked up another one that was about hospitality, and that one was kind of a butt kicker as well, because I'm way unintentional in my life, and there's people out there that are like super intentional, and the gospel does good work when you expose it to people. And I'd prefer to hide into my house and not do anything. And so that was bad. So anyway, we'll see if we can get to that. You can hear how bad I am, and maybe that gives you a chance to change your ways. And then we'll do those Dear Life from the Path. That's the goal for today. Hold on. I might share one of those. Wait. No. I'll do it right now. We're going to start ourselves off with a clean Christian joke.
A clean? Oh,
yes.
Buddy.
Where's that joke, man? Hold on. The last one. So last time it was about the airlines.
Uh-huh.
Remember they would get thrown the frozen chicken at the plane?
Yep.
Okay, hold on. So I'm going to give you four categories. We got crime jokes, farmer jokes, heaven jokes, or Satan jokes?
Crime.
Satan.
All right, we'll do one of these. Let's start with the crime jokes. Here we go. This one is titled, Jesus is watching.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. A burglar got into a house one night. Shining his flashlight on the floor in the dark, he heard a voice saying, "Jesus is watching you." He looked around nervously, shook his head, and kept looking for valuables. He again heard, "Jesus is watching you." This time, he shone his light all over and it rested on a parrot. He asked, "Did you say that?" The parrot admitted that it had. "I was just trying to warn you, that's all." The burglar said, "Warn me, huh? Who are you? What's your name?" "Moses." "Well, what kind of stupid people would name a parrot Moses?" The bird answered, "I don't know. I guess the same folks who would name a Rottweiler Jesus." Hey-o.
Hey-o.
All right. Here we go. Boova's choice. Boova loves Satan jokes.
Oh, no.
Here we
maybe,
go.
Maybe not say that.
Here we go. One bright, beautiful Sunday morning, everyone in tiny Jonestown wakes up early and goes to their local church. Why do they call it Jonestown? Before the service starts, the townspeople sit in their pews and talk about their lives and their families. Suddenly at the altar, Satan appears. Everyone starts screaming and running for the front entrance, trampling each other in their determined efforts to get away from evil incarnate. Soon everyone is evacuated from the church, except for one man, who sits calmly in his pew, seemingly oblivious to the fact that God's ultimate enemy is in his presence. This confuses Satan a bit. Satan walks up to the man and says, "Hey, don't you know who I am?" The man says, "Yep, sure do." Satan says, "Well, aren't you afraid of me?" The man says, "Nope, sure ain't." Satan, perturbed, says, "And why aren't you afraid of me?" The man says, "Well, I've been married to your sister for 25 years.
Oh, 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 man. Oh. That's rough.
Under the following tags, clean Christian jokes, funny jokes, clean jokes and humor about Satan.
I've been married to your sister for 25 years. Wow. All right. Clean Christian humor.
That's rough.
I don't even understand that one.
It's Satan's sister.
Yeah.
No, Satan doesn't have a sister.
Yeah, but they're saying like
it's a joke, Mike.
It's a joke. Is that his wife is terrible?
Is he trying to say? I don't understand it. I think it's funny, but I don't understand it. I'm gonna let it go.
Okay.
Okay. I'm gonna do one more. That one. I don't love that one. But this one's called The Fence. There was a large group of people on one side. Wait, these are the Satan jokes that Boova likes. There was a large group of people. On one side of the group stood a man, Jesus. On the other side of the group stood Satan. Separating them, running through the group, was a fence. The scene set, both Jesus and Satan began calling to the people in the group, and one by one, each having made up his or her own mind, each went to either Jesus or Satan. This kept going. Soon enough, Jesus had gathered around him a group of people from the larger crowd, as did Satan. But one man joined neither group. He climbed the fence that was there and sat on it. Then Jesus and his people left and disappeared. So did Satan and his people, and the man on the fence sat alone. As this man sat, Satan came back looking for something which he appeared to have lost. The man said, "Have you lost something?" Satan looked straight at him and replied, "No, there you are. Come with me." "But," said the man, "I sat on the fence. I chose neither you nor him." "That's okay," said Satan. "I own the fence." That's not funny.
What?
It was. That's like a bad pastor anecdote.
Right, exactly. It's okay. I own the fence.
I own the fence. Ha ha.
Mike got that one.
Whatever. I love that joke. Okay, hold on. We're gonna try one more. I don't like to leave these.
I feel like we should not be in the Satan joke. All right, fine.
You chose the Satan.
You're
category.
Right. I did it incorrectly. But let's hear the third one. We'll see if we can go one for three.
Boova triples down on the Satan jokes. All right. A golfer is in a competitive match with a friend who is ahead by a couple of strokes. The golfer says to himself, "I'd give anything to sink this next putt." A stranger walks up to him and whispers, "Would you give up a fourth of your sex life?" 2 holes later, he mumbles to himself, So the golfer thinks the man is crazy and that his answer will be meaningless, but also that perhaps this is a good omen and will put him in the right frame of mind to make the difficult putt, and says, "Okay," and sinks the putt. 2 holes later, he mumbles to himself, "Boy, if I could only get an eagle on this hole." The same stranger moves to his side and says, "Would it be worth another fourth of your sex life?" What are these good Christian jokes? The golfer shrugs and says, "Sure," and he makes an eagle. Down to the final hole, the golfer needs yet another eagle to win. Though he says nothing, the stranger moves to his side and says, "Would you be willing to give up the rest of your sex life to win this match?" The golfer says, "Certainly," and makes the eagle. As the golfer walks to the clubhouse, the stranger walks alongside and says, "You know, I've really not been fair with you because you don't know who I am. I'm the devil, and from now on you will have no sex life." "Nice to meet you," says the golfer. "My name's Father O'Malley."
Catholic devil
Catholics
joke.
Catholics don't have sex.
All right. Three.
Okay, yeah. All right, the Satan category is not funny. Crime.
Crime's worth that. Sticking the crime.
All right. So, Buba, talk to me about Psalm 104.
All right. So, like I said, I was looking through the Instagram story of my lady, and she posted a picture of this just cute little card that one of the girls at the children's home she works at made her. And it was just all about like, we love you and God loves you and all this different stuff. And it had like kind of a shield on it, and the shield had Psalm 104 in it. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, like I said before, my like life decision I've made recently is anytime I see a scripture, whether it's the actual scripture, whether it's just the like place marker for it, I always go look it up. Because yep. I need to spend more time in the Bible, and this just kind of been the way to do it, rather than just, you know, doing a Bible study. Right. So I jumped in. And I read the psalm, and it wrecked me in such a cool way. And I'm going to read a little bit of it. And so Psalm 104 starts with, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent. He lays the beams of his chambers on the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. He makes his messengers winds. He ministers a flaming fire. He set the earth on its foundations so that it should never be moved. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke, they fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took to flight. The mountains rose, the valleys sank down to the place that you appointed for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass so that they might not again cover the earth. You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Beside them, the birds of the heavens dwell. They sing among the branches. From your lofty abode, you water the mountains, and the earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work." And so it goes on to continue that kind of narrative of creation is taken care of by God, whether it's a living animal that's taken care of by the fact that he set the earth to be exactly how it is for them, or the earth itself moving to his will and being created by him. And it's this beautiful psalm regarding the concept of God is in control. The Lord is the one who ordained everything to be in its right place, who is the one who sets the waters where they go and sets their boundaries, and they respond to him and they answer him as their creator. Yeah. And so I really loved that, because I'm kind of in this spot right now where trust is a big theme in my life. More than ever before.
Yep.
I found myself kind of finding truth in being in the will of God and figuring out exactly what that looks like, and waiting patiently and being, steadfast in my obedience to him. And it's been really cool. And so the last couple of days have been kind of rough for me, because my job has just becoming more and more difficult.
Yep.
And I know from prayer and from what I've heard from God, I know God's moving me to where I'm going to be leaving my job soon. I'm 100% certain of that.
Yeah.
I just don't know where I'm going.
Right.
That's kind of the limbo that I'm in right now. Right. And so I thought, what a cool way for God to kind of show up and say, hey, you know, pay attention to this. This is who I am, and reassure that he's in control, right? And so that was a really cool moment for me.
Yeah.
But then it took it one step further, because later on yesterday evening, I was talking with a friend of mine from college, and she was in a rough spot, and like I saw that she had been crying. And so I just reached out to her and I said, hey, hope everything's okay. Like, I'm sorry, what's going on. I know we're not super close, but if you need anything, let me know. I'd be happy to help or just talk to you and be in ear to listen. And she responded to me. She goes, okay, well, you know, it's I'm okay. I'm fine. I've just been crying. It's been a weird time the last couple nights, and I'm just having a rough night. And I said, okay. And so I knew from our conversations and from getting to know her that she's a Jesus person. She loves Jesus.
Yep.
And so I said, hey, read Psalm 104 for me. And she immediately responds with, wait, what? And I said, just go read Psalm 104 for me. It's important. It's on my heart right now. God placed it on my heart today. Go read it. And she responds with, oh my gosh, I just did. Huh. I go, what do you mean? She goes, I literally just read that psalm. And I go, wait, because I told you to, or because it was on your heart? And she goes, I just flipped to it and was reading it. And I'm like, that's weird. That's awesome. And she goes, yeah, I don't know if you know this, but I'm actually in the process of becoming a missionary to the Middle East.
Huh.
And I'm having a really rough time. Some of these nights are just really difficult because I doubt myself and I doubt the plans and I doubt what's happening. And I have rough nights.
Yeah.
And I said, I think this is kind of perfect. Let's talk for a second. And so I just started kind of typing out just kind of the concept of that psalm. That's, you know, you got to realize that all of creation cries out to him as creator. All of it. If the beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea and the stars in the sky and even inanimate objects like iron gates that move when Peter's trying to get out of jail, they all cry out to him as sovereign, as holy, 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 and as Lord. If all of these things know in their existence and their being that he is creator, he is Lord, he is in power, and how much more so does he bless us as the creations that are in his image and breathe life from him? How much more so does he love us than them even? Our response to that has to be crying out to him in praise. Like when you really understand the concept of that, of understanding like God literally ordained every single thing that you physically see to be exactly how it is. God created the heavens and the earth and everything in between. He did it all. And everything cries out of his magnificence. And that's so amazing. And she goes, I needed to hear that tonight. I'm thankful that you contacted me. That was kind of out of nowhere. Thanks for bringing up Psalm 104. I'm going to read it again and make sure that I'm keeping that in mind.
Yeah.
And so that on its own was a cool thing. And then I said, hey, just a heads up, by the way, my girlfriend is a missionary and has been working in Madagascar for 4 years. And she goes, what? And I said, yeah. So if anybody understands what it's like to leave their life behind and go to a foreign country, it's her. I said, let me get you in contact with her. She could probably talk you through some of these rough nights from experience and talk to you about what it's like and tell you and encourage you and be there for you. And she goes, that sounds amazing, and I really appreciate that. And so I texted my gal and said, hey, this is going on. She goes, yep, give her my contact info. And we prayed for her. And so it was this weird concept of, like, God keeps doing that to me in an awesome way. Like, I feel like I've been called to kind of share a lot of stuff for him recently. And I keep trying to figure out what that looks like and how that works. And I keep doubting him from the perspective of, like, I'm not the right person for this stuff.
Yeah.
But then out of nowhere, he'll give me something in my brain and be like, this is what you need to talk about. This is what you need to tell someone. And I don't say that so that, like, I sound like I'm doing great, because I'm just here. But the way that he's been working through me has been incredible. Just like when I feel like I'm following him, and when I feel like I'm in his will, in his hands, it's not about my pride and it's not about my ego. It's about his glory. Beautiful things keep happening where in my personal life or in some random way, I'll see some scripture or I'll think about some theme and kind of break it down. And then within hours, usually within hours or minutes, I regurgitate that and I tell someone else about it. And then they go, that's exactly what I needed to hear. This is that. That's an amazing story. This is exactly what I'm going through. And like, it's been so cool to find myself fighting for obedience for him and fighting to be in his will and in his purposes and his ways. And he's completely taken care of the fact that I was worried about not being able to do it, and has just said, dude, I'm going to give you the words to say. I'm going to tell you what you need to tell. And I'm not even going to tell you when it's going to happen. I'm just going to let you, this is what's happening. And when you need to, you'll know. And it's been so cool to be an actual tool in that situation and live that out. And so
that's been just be on things we talked about in the past. That feels like a shift in your life.
Oh, absolutely.
So I mean, like, folks listen and they say, boy, I mean, that sounds awesome. And I feel like I've wanted to do that. What's with the shift, Bhuva? Like how?
That's a good question. So I've been asking for this for a very long time. I've been asking for God to use me, to show me what he wants me to do and things like that. But I never really responded in the right way, because I started with that. I started with the God, I want you to use me. But I never really put myself in a place to be used.
Right.
And so the most recent switch has been this change to understanding what a loving relationship with him is like and needing him daily. When I found myself finally crying out to God every single day, and not just once a week and not just when it's convenient, but understanding that, like, my relationship with him is the most important thing about my life, and a loving relationship with him is the most important thing. And because of that, I've started to be revealed who he is. He's revealed to me what his character is, yep. what he's like, whether it's through revelations in scripture that I've read recently. And I'm a firm believer in when you're really doing this, the Holy Spirit reveals spiritual knowledge to you. That's biblical. That is exactly how that happens. When I found myself truthfully pursuing a loving relationship with God and inviting the Holy Spirit into my life and into my heart through repentance and through the invitation, like, scripture is making more sense to me than it ever has.
Right.
And the good news about that is the concept of that scripture is exactly understanding the identity of God. And it's just knowing who he is. And once I finally figured out that my love for him and my understanding of loving the love that I get from him, the trust that I have in him, and the constant perseverance to having that loving relationship daily and working through it has led me to a place where I feel closer to him. I feel closer to being in his will. I recognize when things are happening that are of him. And it's not like I have to pray every time, hey, God, is this what I'm supposed to say? I just know it.
Right.
And I know it's time to say it. Like last night, I just shared with this girl randomly Psalm 104. And then we get into this long conversation that she needs encouraging as someone who's doubting the mission that she feels God's given her. And it was this perfect moment that God orchestrated that you needed to hear this. You read it, but you needed to hear it again.
Yeah.
Go back and read it. And this is exactly what God's talking about. And so the cool thing is that invitation to a loving relationship that I've gotten from him recently. And understanding that, like, the creator of the universe that literally holds everything in his hands has said to me, son, I love you. And I want you to see what that looks like. It's more than a word, and it's more than a feeling. It is something that should encapsulate everything you do in your entire life and existence. And once I started to understand that, things have just been falling into place.
Yeah.
And it's been beautiful. It's been absolutely beautiful.
Boy, that's awesome. And I think it's something that when you were talking, what it reminded me of is, like, I can't, it's countless times, like, I've I felt I was being lazy because I thought I read this thing this week and then it just so happened to come up, like, someone was having some kind of problem or situation or whatever, and then I would refer back to the scripture that I read that week or yeah. the thing that I was studying to preach on coming up soon or whatever, and I always thought, boy, it's just laziness because it's the first thing that came to mind because I've been looking at it. But then, the truth was is I suppose that could be the case some of the time. But more often than not, it wasn't misapplied, right? Like it was there, and then it was useful. It was both. Like God right. it had me doing this thing, and to the extent that it was then valuable for me and someone else within the very near future. And as opposed to looking at it and saying, boy, that's a human coincidence, I start to recognize that God is doing things that otherwise what I was missing out on is recognizing his hand in it, right? Like giving God the credit for something that right. otherwise brings glory to him and comforts me to know that God is using your life
yeah.
to do X, Y, Z. And instead, we're like, boy, look at them crazy coincidences or my own laziness. And like, what a false attribution.
Right. I've recently given up on coincidences. The first couple weeks of this whole deal where God's been calling me back to him for the first time in a long time, possibly the first time ever, if I'm being fully honest, mm-hmm. I started off by counting coincidences in my life. Like I started off with this prayer of, Lord, help my unbelief, because I know the things to say and I know the words to use. And I've read your scripture enough that I have a basic understanding of a lot of it. But I don't trust you. And I never have. And I realized that. And the second I started saying that and asked him to help my unbelief first, instead of asking for blessings, instead of asking him for miracles, instead of asking him to change my entire life, I just asked him to help me to trust him.
Yeah.
And he absolutely showed up. And so in the first week, I lost count at about 10 coincidences that were happening. Uh-huh. And I'm just like, okay, you know what? If I'm asking for trust and I'm asking for you to reveal your nature to me, if this is how you're revealing it to me, I need to stop counting coincidences and start counting the ways that you're showing me that I can trust you and start counting the ways that you're showing me that, yes, you love me unconditionally. Yes, you're trustworthy. You are faithful. You keep your promises. You are exactly who you said you were thousands of years ago in that Bible. And you're exactly who you said you were every day when you talk to me. And Lord, you do not change.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful for that moment. And like I said, I stopped counting coincidences and just started recognizing it. God, this is you moving. This is you working. Make sure that I keep myself aligned with you and obedient in a loving relationship with you so that I can stay here and be attuned spiritually to what you have to say and where you're moving, and I'm just going to go when you send me.
So that sniffs a lot like, I think, some of the prayer stuff, Mike, that you and I have been talking about. So, I mean, how does that relate to some of the stuff, I don't know, like what hits you from, I can't remember the name of the book, but the book you're reading, and then kind of how that interacts with your prayer life?
I think the thing that really, I don't know, moved me in a pretty wild direction is like that. You're right, I can't remember the name of the book, which I think is probably a good thing.
Something fresh fire, fresh wind, fresh fire, something like that.
Oh yeah, fresh wind, fresh fire. And so, basically, he was talking about, you know, he grew this nothing church that God had called him to, and they did nothing but pray for God to bring people and God to renew their spirit and God to do things, and that's how he did it. Like, it was no. In fact, he took most of the emphasis off the Sunday morning service and moved it all to the Tuesday night prayer circle. And like, I remember that was my favorite line out of that book is one of the a missionary had come to the church to speak or whatever. And he gets up on a podium and he says three things. He's only there for like 2 minutes. You know, he gets up and he goes, the attendance on your Sunday morning service attests to the popularity of your worship. Attendance at the Sunday night service attends to the popularity of your preacher, and the attendance on the Tuesday night prayer circle that attends to the popularity of Jesus. And then he left. Like, the guy left the podium and walked out the door, and no one ever saw him again. And it was super creepy, but it all pointed to this thing where, like, The modern path to Christianity, the modern path to following Jesus, is such a structured thing, and it's all based on knowledge, you know, on what you know about Jesus. And the truth is like, you only kind of have to know one thing, right? You just basically have to know that God is good and he can be trusted. And that's exactly what Buva was saying, right? And so, like, if your heart attunes that way, then you say, well, God, there's no people in my church. Do you want to send people? I'll pray, and I'll have everyone else pray, because that's the only way I know to get things done is to ask you to do them, because you can be trusted and you're good. And we need money to build a new building, or we need more people to volunteer to help with the drug addicts that surround our church building, right? Like, it's not a repentance thing on Sunday where you yell at everybody and say we got to have more volunteers. It's you pray and you talk to God about it. That's his job. That's what he does. And he's good, and he can be trusted. And, like, it's funny that, like, your prayer life, and this is true of mine even now, is your prayer life is it's almost proportional to how much you believe that God is good and can be trusted. Because if you don't believe that, then you don't pray much.
Right.
And I used to not pray much, right? And maybe I still don't, not as much as I'd like, right? But, like, I don't, you know, I'd say a good chunk of my walk towards, you know, following Jesus up to recently, maybe I didn't believe that he is actually going to do anything. You know, like, I had this vision of him that, like, he will do, I did believe him to be good, that he would do what he's going to do. And me praying either way, despite even an example from Moses, you know, that his heart can be changed or his decision can be changed. I thought, well, I mean, even if it could, who am I?
Right.
Who am I to say, God, I believe you should change this thing, you know? But that also led to not asking him for help, because you'd basically look at it and go, well, if God wanted to help, he'd be doing it already. And so it led to a very non-existent prayer life. You know, like, I was talking to Ben about this last week. Like, I was getting ready to pick out the songs for worship and realized that I had never actually asked God what songs he wanted me to play. I always would just pick them. I almost did the same thing like for a youth group. I never prayed much on what I should be teaching. I just picked something and then worked at it. And it was all knowledge based or from a teaching someone else had done. And then, like, I gave God no room to do anything. And after reading that book and praying over it and you know, trying to involve God in some different things, that's some things that I had kept him out of. it's just like Buva says, it's huge. It does amazing things. All the things that are God-sized things and not Mike-sized things, you know, he shows up into after you start actually asking him what he wants and talking to him about what where we need him to show up, because it's a him deal. So I think that's all. It fits in perfectly with what Buva's saying.
And I think, you know, what's interesting is that as we look, when we talk about kind of the knowledge piece, so what I found, I read the same book, and I was convicted in similar ways in that I took something that God had meant for good, and I have used it at times to tie everything up, right? So like, the problem isn't, knowledge isn't the problem, just like money's not the problem, just like sex as a whole is not the problem. Right. The knowledge and biblical knowledge and wanting to know and learn and study more about Jesus is not the problem. But like, if that is our only means of which we then express our faith, not how we know our faith. Like, I'm not fighting for the thought that like I'm getting what I think is false, that like special revelation is coming from God for like humanity at large that might work through someone else's prayer life. Like, individuals, yes, groups, no. Because I feel like the Bible covers these things. Like, we know what we should know. And so, like, I'm not saying that, but like, how our faith is otherwise lived out faithfully cannot just be in the consumption about about God from Scripture that is not, one, either lived out in an active relationship with God and with the people around us. And so, like, if we've got this sense, in fact, the Scripture points us to this sense that God does interact with his people, and we avoid the interaction with God.